Good afternoon, everyone. This is Nick Athanasiou, Vice President of Business Development and Strategy for Travel Dividends, the online resource for professionals engaged in the travel affiliate marketing industry. Today, I'm delighted to have as our guests Rod Cuthbert, who is the founder and chairman, as well as Ken Froelich, Director of Business Development and Manager Partner Programs for the Americas with Viator, which is the world's largest and leading website devoted to research, planning, and booking travel destination activities. Rod and Ken will be discussing the burgeoning destination travel activities industry. They'll also give us their views about the dynamics that the industry is currently undergoing and their views about how the industry may look several years hence, and also share with us some of their thoughts and views as to how travel affiliates can position themselves to profit from selling at destination travel activities both today and in the future. So Rod and Ken, welcome, and thank you very much for taking time from your busy schedules to join me today.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, if I could ask the startup question, if each of you can provide us with a little about your personal background, and perhaps, Rod, we can start with you. Can you give us a little detail about your personal and professional CV, if you will, and how you get involved in the travel industry?
Well, I've been in the sales and marketing information technology arena broadly all my working life. In the 1980s, I started and operated a very successful retail computer store in Melbourne, Australia, Australia being my homeland, and ran that for a number of years. After that, liked the idea of being the employer rather than the employee. Found out I was a pretty lousy employee, but thought being the boss was okay, so I started a couple of other companies in the software industry after that, some of them in Australia, one of them in the United States. And I found myself back in Australia in the mid-90s, having just sold a business in the US without anything particularly on my mind. But the web had started in 1995, and that seemed like a pretty good place to direct my efforts. So I started a web development company, building websites for people, and found after I had chalked up my first 10 customers that they were all in the travel industry, and thus I also was in the travel industry and decided that 10 out of 10 was probably a signal from someone that it was a good space to be in, and decided that we weren't just a web development company, but we were a web development company for the travel industry. So that's me.
Terrific. And Ken, how about yourself?
Sure. My career actually started in the pharmaceutical industry, believe it or not, but I very soon discovered that that wasn't really the right fit for me. I ended up taking a year off to travel in the early 90s, and it was really through that experience that I kind of found a love for travel and traveling and decided that I had to find something in the travel industry to come back to when I came back to the real world. My first spot in the travel industry was actually for a cruise line, and I was an outside sales rep for them. I covered most of North America and half of Canada, or most of America and half of Canada for them. So I did a lot of traveling, and that was also my kind of first taste of business on the road. I left there and actually went to a travel technology company, which was funded by Amadeus, called Atinera, and that's where I met Barry Seidenberg, who's currently the Viator CEO. After Atinera and after 9/11, I went to Sendant and a division of Sendant called HotelClub.com. Which was an online booking source for hotels, Australian-based company with a good worldwide reach, and I ran their Americas division for them. And then in 2006, I joined Viator, came to work for Rod to manage the partner programs at Viator.
Terrific. And both of you gentlemen have some very diverse and very deep industry experience and expertise, and it certainly shows in the product and service that you offer today. Rod, relative to that and to the point that you raised that you found yourself with your first 10 clients being in travel, can you also give us some insight as to what prompted you to start Viator? What was going on in the market at that time that sort of either piqued or sparked your interest at the destination travel activity sector?
Well, principally it was that I wanted to find a way to develop a transaction-based system. In other words, something that could make money rather than just be an online brochure for travel products. And looking at the travel space, I saw that there were many players selling flights and hotels and even rental cars and cruises at that point. But there was nobody, literally nobody, focused on what I thought was a really interesting part of the travel sector, which was the destination activities. And like many consumers, when I thought of travel, that's what I thought of. I thought of, you know, if I was going to France, I wasn't so concerned about what seat I flew on my Qantas flight or which hotel I stayed in. I was sort of really interested in going up to the top of the Eiffel Tower and going to the Moulin Rouge Cabaret or on a trip down to the wine country. They're the things that I associated with travel. And when I saw that there was nobody doing that, I figured that was a pretty good opportunity.
Terrific. And I concur with your thought completely. It seems to me, as long as I've been associated with the travel industry, most of the booking systems that exist, even today, are sort of ear-centric. And it always occurred to me that if you think about travel logically, you really want to start with, where do I want to go to? What's at that destination that I want to experience and things to do? So it seems to me like you hit, you got the brass ring, so to speak. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Rod, can you also share with us what it was like in terms of the competitive landscape in the online travel industry at the time that you you first started Viator? And how would you contrast that with what you see today?
I think the most striking thing is that when we started the business, we were sort of different then, we were an Australian-based company that was doing something on an international level, so people were interested in what we were doing, and we would go along to travel industry conferences where, you know, prior to, say, 2001, most of the participants were from traditional travel agency groups or wholesalers or essentially the old world of travel. And there was a lot of negative feeling about the new entrants and whether or not they were really going to change the landscape. You know, that was an open question as to whether or not the old world players would survive or whether the new world players would dominate. And it's interesting to look back on that now and see that we even bothered debating the question given the way the market has voted with their feet. So I think that's the most striking thing about the last 10 or 12 years that comes to my mind, is that it just happened so quickly that people abandoned to a large extent the high street travel agent and went online.
And I concur wholeheartedly with that. And Rod, given the sort of competitive dynamics now that you've just described as existent today, what do you consider as an online player to be the key success factors for companies like Viator and others to compete successfully as we're into the next stage of the e-commerce world in travel?
Well, there's a couple of things that we concentrate on at Viator that I could probably talk on that topic for ages and ages, but I'll just concentrate on two things. We've been very diligent about sticking to our knitting. In other words, we're in the destination activity sector. We cannot rent you a hotel room or a rental car, or we cannot book you a flight. We have no desire to do any of those sorts of things. We don't do bed and breakfast or cruise lines. There's many other things that we could venture out into, many great commercial deals that we've been offered to be an affiliate of somebody else doing that, but we're just not really interested in, or it's not that we're not interested, it's just that we believe to do a great job of selling destination activities, it's a complex field and we really need to focus on it. So that would be the first thing I'd say is really important from a competitive point of view. The second thing is, over the last couple of years, we have really embraced the basic elements of Web 2.0. And by that I principally mean user-generated feedback. So we've got close to 150,000 user reviews that are all from our customers. None of them are sort of fake or from the supplier or anything like that. They're really high-quality reviews, some good, some bad, that all give our customers, our new customers, an opportunity to see what their the customers who have come before them thought about the product. And it's intensely valuable to us and to our customers. And we've added onto the top of that photos from our customers, and we'll be doing video in the future. And we just absolutely believe in the value of creating a sort of an open community where a new customer is not just dealing with Viator, but he gets access to all of our other customers who have come before so that he can get their opinions and make an informed decision.
Great. Rod, you just mentioned about the customer reviews and the user-generated content on your site, which is fantastic. I know I've had a chance to read it over, and it's terrific. But how, if I can ask you, how do you police the and assure the integrity of the data, and in particular, given some of the recent headlines that have made the travel news circuit about TripAdvisor and others who may not have as rigorous policing policy? What is it that Viator does specifically?
Well, when you build a review system, you can either make it an open system or a closed system. TripAdvisor is open and ours is closed. By closed, I mean the only way you can possibly post a review is if you get an invitation from us. And you only get an invitation from our system if our system sees that you booked a particular product with us and you consumed that product or traveled that product 10 days ago. And it will automatically generate you an email request to write a review. If you happen to be the proprietor of that tour and would like to post a review, well, that's bad luck because our system is simply never going to it's never going to send you an invitation. It's an entirely closed system, and we think that that guarantees a much higher quality of experience for people reading the reviews.
I appreciate your comment on that, and again, agree with wholeheartedly with your approach on the closed system. Right. If I could ask both you gentlemen now, one of the things that struck us at Travel Dividends was the success of the Viator affiliate program and how admired you are among many of the affiliates that we've spoken to and run into in the course of our work. If I can ask each of you, starting maybe with Ken, since Ken, the affiliate program, as I understand it, is in your bailiwick, but what do you believe, in your own opinion, to be the reasons that you've achieved such success in the affiliate space?
Sure, good question. I guess I would point to really three factors that have, you know, made the Viator Partner Program one of the most successful in the travel space. Number one, and Rod kind of alluded to this in the last question, we've always focused on our products. So it's the experience, it's the thing to do, and we've never lost that focus. So we were able to bring a platform to market that always had the best range of products and experiences worldwide, now in more than 400 destinations. And that gave us kind of the reach for the broadest audience as well as the broadest partner base. And we've been able to keep that focus as we enhance the platform. The second thing would really be we met a marketplace need. There was really no central marketplace for our type of product, as Rod mentioned when he talked about his inspirations for founding the company. But to take that one step further, you know, in the traditional travel world, certainly now in the web, there are connections to hotel chains or the GDS or Pegasus or, you know, various sources to get product. And there really wasn't a system that acted as a, you know, destination GDS or destination marketplace. And we were able to create that and bring it to market and found that that's what a lot of the travel companies were longing for. And then I guess lastly, probably just our staying power. We launched the program in the late 90s, so we've been around with an affiliate program for about 10 years. We've had affiliates come and go. We've had many stay with us for the whole time. And when we look at enhancements and what we want to do to make the product and the platform better, we always go back out to our partners. So we have great historical data as well as a great, you know, dedicated and loyal partner mix that gives us good ideas on how to keep improving the program.
Terrific.
So, Nick, I would add to those things, really just, and I could probably choose from a number, but I'm going to just choose one that I think is fundamental, and that is we establish a set of rules for how we're going to pay people. You know, they have to reach a certain, you know, if they only earn $20 in commissions in the month, I don't think we pay them. We wait till they earn $100, I think it is. Isn't it, Ken?
It's now $50, Rob.
$50. So, you know, that's the baseline rule, and we pay them on a certain day each month, and we pay them directly into their bank account, and they can absolutely count on it. They never, you know, affiliates don't have to call us up and chase their payments if they've got $50 worth of commissions or more. And whilst that sounds like, you know, a really not-so-secret ingredient, it really is an important ingredient in you know, sort of happiness all the way around.
You bet, and that is one of the things that we've heard about Viator is, again, the principles that the company operates in and the integrity. So it's well-deserved, well-deserved. Ken, if I could also ask you to follow up a little bit in the success factors you've articulated for your affiliate program, how would you characterize the role that affiliate marketing plays within Viator today in terms of your overall business? Are affiliates a key element of your strategy, and do they drive a significant amount of traffic to your site?
They do, and they are a key part of our strategy. Affiliate marketing has always been, you know, key to the Viator success. Certainly early on, before we even had a brand name or a website of our own, you know, affiliate marketing and partner marketing was the way to go to get the products out there. You know, we know that activities are really still a niche in the travel industry in many eyes, and that travelers basically are very comfortable now booking the core components on the web, you know, from air to hotel to car and to cruise. And they may have a strong brand awareness with other sites and a loyal following. So we think really that our affiliate program brings a lot of the benefits both to Viator and to the partners. We get a large customer base from these partners that we would not necessarily find or maybe would not find us. And the partners can really offer the full travel experience from A to Z and a complete package or a complete experience for their own travelers or customers. And bottom line, they can earn some extra revenue on it as well. In terms of the traffic, do they drive a lot of traffic to our site? The answer is yes. A huge amount of traffic is driven to our site and to our partner sites from our affiliates. However, one thing we have learned over the last, you know, 10 years of this affiliate platform is traffic alone is rarely the measure of success for a partner or for any affiliate. You know, we partner with a number of large airlines and hotel chains that give us a huge amount of traffic and a very impressive amount of bookings as well. But we also partner with smaller sites that might be destination-focused or city-focused or perhaps theme-based or a travel guide. And those sites deliver a lot less traffic to us and often a much higher conversion rate. So it was an interesting finding for us that it's not all about traffic. It's about where you find the customer, where they are in the purchase cycle, and how you present the information to them. That's really the key factor in the success of being a travel or a Viator travel affiliate.
That's a wonderful analysis and set of insights. And sort of keeping with that theme, Ken, it sounds to me like there are a number of characteristics or attributes that you and Viator look for in an affiliate partner in order to assess whether it's a good match for you. Can you share with us what some of those characteristics or attributes may be? And then follow-on question would be, and if I'm a partner, an affiliate, what would I expect to get in return from Viator if we struck a partnership together?
Sure. I guess there are a number of things that we look at for a core affiliate. We do, first of all, look at all of our affiliate partners. We have a self-sign-up tool, but we do actively look at our affiliates and make sure they meet our requirements and then offer them a lot of support to make the most out of the program. Of course, traffic or at least a reasonable amount of traffic or visitors coming to the site would be something that we would like to see. A well-designed and informative website, ideally travel-related, of course, but some site that presents information that's compelling to the user and not just a Me Too site with a bunch of other content on. Those are always the best sites. And then probably the key factor that we would look for in a successful affiliate would just be the willingness to put in the effort in marketing and developing the site. It's one thing to put up a tours and activities tab on your website and hope that you get bookings, But in reality, it doesn't really work that way. Unless you market the platform, market the experiences in the program, you know, sell it alongside your other travel products, you don't see the success from it. So the affiliates that do the best with us are the ones that put the effort in to really make the program a success. What we can then offer them to these affiliates that do the work with us, of course, the largest selection of products. We've mentioned, I think I mentioned 400 destinations. We're up at about 5,500 products worldwide. So there's really nobody that has the global reach that we have. We have access to some exclusive experiences and deals, both price-based or discount-based, as well as the experience itself. We have products in Rome, for example, where you can actually go into the Vatican Museums after hours with a guide and have a private tour, and those are exclusive to Viator and our partners. So they're a great add-on sell and something to really get attention to the websites. And then we offer a lot of kind of the nitty-gritty of the site, the widgets and the tools and the banners and XML feeds, and you know, pretty much everything a partner needs is available in the admin section. And we also offer account support. Myself and a number of colleagues support our partners, and we're always there to answer questions when they have them.
Again, it's a wide range of products and services, and it sounds like your proposition to the affiliates certainly is something that they can latch onto. I'm curious, relative to both your opinions, are there any commercial opportunities from your perspective that travel affiliates haven't fully exploited, or perhaps even left on the table, if you will, that might apply either to you as Viator, but also broadly speaking in the travel industry? Do you see anything out there that you would say, you know, here's a great opportunity, but the affiliates just haven't quite gotten there yet?
Well, we tend to be a little narrow in our focus. We don't sort of think a lot about what's happening in the flights or the hotels space. I think there's plenty of other smart people who are thinking about the future of those particular sectors. The opportunity we see is, this is not a very exciting answer to your question, frankly, Nick, but it is for our current and new affiliates to simply recognize that their customers probably feel the same way that that I do about travel, which is they really are very focused on what they do in their destination. And that if they push that higher up in terms of importance and prominence on their website, they're probably going to profit from that. By that I mean, if you've got a website that's selling a variety of different things, including flights and hotels and destinations, you probably have the destination activities, you know, down low, you know, a couple of clicks from the homepage. Yet it may be that your customers, when they arrive at your homepage, what they're really thinking about is what they're going to do in that destination. And then, as a sort of a supplement to that, they're going to say, yeah, I'm really excited about that. How do I get there and where do I stay? We're not seeing enough people sort of giving the activities that prominence, but I think as people do give it that prominence, they will see that was a worthwhile effort.
And Ken, anything to add to that?
No, I guess, you know, in terms of a pure product sense about, you know, maybe the last frontier in the what affiliates or travel sites might be leaving out there, something that we've struggled with too is, you know, we're all about experience, but things that are challenging are really the event-based experiences, so sports venues or concerts or the really short-term or one-night type of, you know, attraction or show that you might go to in a venue. And we found it very difficult to really keep that up to date and, you know, keep the content fresh as well as make it bookable. So we've decided not to go into that space. And I think it's probably one area that really is not well represented on a lot of sites in terms of having the latest up-to-date content.
I see. Okay, great. Gentlemen, I know that last month you launched versions of Viator in France and Germany and Spain in the native language. And I'm just curious, did you incorporate any lessons learned from your experiences with affiliate marketers in the U.S. and the U.K., for example, as you rolled out your websites in these new markets? And if you did, can you share those learnings with us?
I think there are a couple things I'll comment on, Rod, and if you want to add to it. Certainly when we looked at putting these sites up in multiple languages, we had a huge challenge with 5,000 things to do and often product descriptions into the several hundreds of words per product. We knew it was going to be a pretty massive undertaking to do it. We decided we really needed to focus on quality translation, both for our own sites and our partner sites. So doing a machine translation and just letting a robot translate our sites wouldn't cut it. So that was one thing that we knew we had to do. We also reached out to a number of our partners, both the English language affiliate partners that have multiple language sites, and asked them what their feedback would be. But we have a core group of really close partners in a number of countries that only do multiple language sites but had taken the Viator content in English. So an example, we have a good partner in Germany that only promotes travel to Barcelona. They've worked with us for years. We do a great business with them, have a great partnership, even though they sell our products in English. So we went to them and said, what would you like? If we can give you everything, what would you want in a language site? You know, and of course, they said, we want you to translate everything all the time, and we want it done in a couple of days. But we were able to take kind of the feedback from a number of partners and come up with really the first round of these sites that you mentioned. And again, I will stress, they are early sites. We're really happy with them, but we have a way to go to get all of the product translated and add additional languages to the sites as well.
I see. I'm also curious what your next, you know, big initiative is for the company, and you know, along the lines again of your launch in the three European countries or elsewhere internationally. But what might that big initiative be, Rod, and how might your travel affiliate partners help to assure its success?
That's a tough one. We're going to push into more geographic sectors. So, for instance, the outbound markets from Japan and India and China. We will continue to, and of course, in those places, you know, we'll be looking for affiliates as we make the site available in those domestic languages. So we'll be looking for affiliate partners to work with there. We'll also be continuing to recruit new content in markets where we're not so strong now. I can tell you that, you know, we're not spending a lot of time recruiting new content in London and Paris and New York and San Francisco. We care a lot about it, and we're always monitoring it, but, we're not signing up new suppliers willy-nilly, whereas we are in the process of doing that in certain other markets. You know, South America and Southern Africa are markets that come to mind where we don't have a lot of coverage today, mainly because they're not the sort of places where people are looking for this type of product. But that's changing, and we're following the market as we go along. We're going to continue to embrace Web 2.0 so that we have our customers much more engaged in the site and offering their opinions, and even more than just their opinions of our products, but also their discussions of, you know, if they spent 36 hours in Barcelona and had a fantastic time, we'd like to know all about that, including where they stayed and where they ate and you know, what music venues they went to, et cetera, et cetera. We're not particularly interested in selling those things, but we think our other customers will be interested in hearing about them. So, you know, I don't think there's any silver bullets or huge announcements that you know, might be really news-breaking. It's more continuing to do what we've done well so far and continuing to embrace our customers' ongoing role in all that.
I see. See, Ken, I'm curious as well, are there any particular hot destinations, or are there, you know, any types of travel product, if you will, either something to do with life stage or experiential travel that affiliates should be looking at today in terms of working with Viator?
I think you hit it right on the head with the experiential travel. You know, we sell a lot of the bread and butter sightseeing that everybody takes and everybody loves, like hop on, hop off buses or, you know, general city tours. But really the things that get people's interest and ones that we would encourage all of our partners to focus on are these ones that get the traveler involved in the destination or in the activity that they're doing. So it might be a hands-on cooking class in Bangkok where you go in, you go to the market, you pick out your own ingredients, and then you come back to the school and cook them and eat them, the best part. Or maybe a photography tour where you walk through Paris and you have a professional photographer teach you how to use your camera as well as, you know, get the best shots, often with you in the shots. So we have a number of products that we focus on like that that really engage the customers. Number one, we think it's a great experience, but number two, we think it helps to keep our customers very loyal to our own site and to the affiliate sites that they booked on when they have such a great experience. They remember where they booked it, and they're more likely to go back and book their next experience at the same place.
Thanks for that, Ken. Rod, if I can ask you to put your thinking cap back on. Earlier, you had provided us with an assessment of what the competitive landscape was like when you first started Viator and also today. But I'm curious to hear your views relative to the future of the online travel industry. So if I may ask, how do you see the industry changing, let's say, over the next 3 to 5 years? What do you see as the major forces that are driving change in the industry? And what might be the likely outcome or outcomes that you and Viator are planning for?
Well, this industry has always been characterized by a lot of consolidation. Now, we're not seeing much of that right now because the stock prices of the key buyers, people like Expedia, Travelocity, Travelport, Priceline, etc., those stock prices are all somewhat depressed, so they don't have the sort of currency they need to go out and make those purchases. But I think come this time next year, they certainly will be doing that again, assuming the market has picked itself up a little bit. So I think what you're going to see is a continuation of what we've seen over the last 10 years. New businesses will spring up. They'll find a place in the market. TripAdvisor is a great example of that. And then one of the big guys will come along and buy them. Now, having said all that, we've seen a flurry of activity in the sort of trip planning area. There are more companies whose name includes the word trip than literally you could poke a stick at. I think some of those companies are likely to do well. But again, I think that once they do well, they're going to get acquired by one of the big companies. And we'll then see a sort of a broad proliferation of this type of technology and methodology for people to plan and manage their trips. I don't think there's any big surprises coming down the pike in terms of technology or new players or anything like that. I think it's a lot, you know, more of the same is in store for us, Nick.
See. And given this future world that you're envisaging, Rod, and also Ken, if you can follow up to Rod's comments, if from a travel affiliate marketer perspective, what would you suggest that they do to make sure that they remain an important and valued element of any travel supplier's distribution mix?
Well, certainly not just sit on their laurels. You know, they need to be looking at the types of technology and the types of marketing that the big players are doing and ask themselves whether there's any of those things that they can, on an albeit smaller scale, implement themselves. So if you're running a little affiliate site, but you have a band of loyal customers, find a way for those customers to get their views and opinions up on your site. That would be like a fundamental thing that I think every affiliate ought to be doing. If they own some customers in the market, people who say, yeah, I book with XYZ, they should sort of, you know, go out into the web, find a review system or a user-generated content system integrated into their affiliate site or into their website, and start leveraging the power of their ownership of those customers. What do you think, Ken?
I agree with that completely. I think that that's certainly a good idea. I think that any travel affiliate now, in a world that's dominated by the search engines and Google particularly, they have to be pretty savvy in the content that they put up. and putting up Me Too content just won't work. But adding content about destinations or experiences or even things such as the weather or restaurants does help to get interest. And, you know, a lot of affiliates are still finding their traffic from the web and hoping that people find them. So a lot of effort has to be paid to that as well, of, you know, making sure the right customers are finding you to get the products and make the bookings.
Well, it sounds like content remains king today. I know it was the case back in at the dawning of the online travel industry back in 94 and 95 and right through the first bubble. So, again, it's interesting how, as Rod said, things don't change very much, and you just got to keep your foot on the pedal. Right? A couple of last questions, gentlemen. For each of you, what keeps you up at night? Anything that, from an executive perspective, you seem to be more concerned about these days than other?
Well, I think the travel industry is sort of doubly susceptible to economic downturns. In that, you know, people tend to, you know, the economy sneezes and travel catches cold, I guess is what I want to say. That even people who are safe and secure in their job in circumstances like this tend to cut back on their travel. We wish they wouldn't. We wish they would go out there and recognize that by traveling, spending money with the airline, the hotel, the tour operators, the online companies, it's good for the economy in general. But I guess everybody thinks of their own circumstances first and says, wow, you know, the economy's in a bit of a state here. I think I might preserve my funds. So that's the thing that worries us most, that the economy overall should you know, remain in the sort of static position that it's in now, fairly depressed for some longer period of time, thus not allowing us to grow at the rate we want to grow. We have grown this year relative to last year, so we're really happy about that. But we certainly are not growing at the rate we would like to.
Ken, do you think we're at the bottom of this current economic crisis and sort of rosier skies ahead, or is it still too early to call?
Well, you know, I would like to say we're at the bottom, and I certainly, from a business perspective and a travel perspective, would hope so. I'm not sure we are. You know, I think we're certainly seeing travel pick back up again. In our own business, it hasn't really been the volume that's been affected as much, but we're seeing customers spend down a little bit, so maybe not book as many excursions as they used to, or maybe they're booking excursions much closer to home and much closer into the travel date. So in a way, we are a little bit more protected. A lot of our bookings are not far into the future like other travel partners, so we don't have the crystal ball, but yet we're not affected as much by the downturns that you hear in the marketplace. So I just keep my fingers crossed that we have hit the bottom. I'm certainly doing my part in traveling and spending money on travel, and I hope others do too.
And I'm doing the same thing. So spending money and also, you know, very much looking forward to when the industry bounces back, rightfully so. Well, one last question, and that is, gentlemen, is there anything that I should have asked either of you that I've neglected to do so, either about Viator, the industry, or yourselves?
Nick, I think this has been a really thorough and comprehensive interview. I don't think people want to know what we think about the Michael Jackson scenario, so you probably don't need to bother with that.
I think you're correct on the last one. That's for certain. But, no, gentlemen, again, it's been terrific. I really am ecstatic that you were able to take time from your busy schedules to join us today. And you provided our listeners and readers with a wealth of information about how to not only to work more closely with Viator, but some of the success factors that travel affiliates need today to remain relevant and prosperous going forward. So, again, thank you, Rod. Thank you also, again, excuse me, Ken. And this is Nick Athanasiou with Travel Dividends, thanking everyone for joining us this afternoon. Thank you.